the honor and all of the praise. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for protecting us. Thank you, God, for keeping us through the hills and valleys of life. We bless you right now, Lord God. And we pray that these, your people, come closer to you. Despite their situations or circumstances, Lord God, let them know you. Let them taste of you, Lord God. Let them seek and know that you are Lord. Besides you, there is none other. We love you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. You deserve it. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all of the praise. Amen. Amen. I just have a couple of announcements for you as we proceed on with this morning's service. And once again, we'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. This Saturday, or this upcoming Saturday, June 15th, 2019, at 4 o'clock p.m., DTCC Community Outreach will be having an event in conjunction with the Central Florida Food Festival. It will be a time of fellowship, a time of coming together. And so if you have a moment and you're not occupied on that particular weekend, go ahead and come on out and witness to someone and enjoy some delicious food. The tickets are $8. Also, on June 21st, I guess that be my birthday. Oh, Lord. I'm kicking in the door, waving the fofo. You missed it. I'll be turning 44 years old this year. I actually started ministry when I was 34 years old. And it's just been a glorious and wonderful time in the Lord. And so I'm just really looking forward to what God has ahead. Even as we move into our 10th year next year, Lord God, I saw Sister Marsha's post where she was friends with Lady Martin for 8 years. Has it been that long? It's been that long, man. Good night. Well, I'm just so glad that we're still around. I'm glad that we're still moving forward. I'm glad that there have not been any scandals, that we are still moving forward. I'm glad that we're still staying faithful to God despite all the changes that's going on around this. I'm thankful that I'm still in my right mind. I still have my health, even after a lot of health scares over the years. I'm so glad that we're moving forward. You may have noticed that Lady Martin is not here this morning, but if you just wave, put your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. Lady Martin, we love you. She was instrumental in getting the camp off of the ground, Camp Vision off the ground last week, which was a monumental effort. We had to hire three counselors, and those three counselors actually start full force on Monday. One of them started already, but Lady Martin was filling in the gap with the others. You might have also seen me on the bus as well, driving around. In other words, sometimes when you get things off the ground and get things going, you have to put in an extra amount of energy. And she got a little tired and got a little bit under the weather. But sweetheart, we love you, we miss you, and we thank God for you, and we hope to see you even on next Sunday. Also, on June 22nd is our roadside cleanup. See Brother Ryan Carroll or Deacon-elect Dewan Lewis for more details. It seems like as soon as we clean up, people throw all types of trash back out there again. But we are there to serve. We are not there just to watch and wait for things to happen or be like some folk and just have your cameras up and then don't intervene. We actually want to clean up this community and be visible. Also, save the date on July the 20th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will be having our DTCC Beach Day at the Daytona Beach, Florida. Also, if you have not been baptized, you will have an opportunity to declare your faith before everybody and get a chance to be awash. And if you want to, just hold your breath for a little while longer up under the water to make sure that you are clean. Amen. Amen. If you want me to do it, I'd gladly do it. Amen. But it is a time for you to be baptized if that is something that you desire. If you have not been done, it will be a great opportunity for that, as well as a great family time together. Also, save the date. Saturday, August the 3rd at 10 p.m. is our Back to School Bash. School supplies, free food, performances by local artists, free haircuts, and multiple giveaways. Right now, we are collecting school supplies, to be so be sure that you bring your donations. You'll see a box out in the front that was beautifully decorated by our own very own Sister Yolanda Marshall. Thank you so much. We honor you and we bless you for your talents, skills, and abilities. So make sure that you put something in there. I'm going to put her on you because you know she'll come up to you and be like, why didn't you put nothing in this basket yet? Just look at you and look at the basket. So make sure that you do that going forward and go ahead and start early. And last but not least, make sure that you also see Sister Akilah Mara, Sister Latoya Lewis for those further instructions. We're trying to gather up steam so that we can have a great back-to-school bash. Once again, 2020 is coming up, y'all. I'm looking for special and great things to happen this year, but we need to start our momentum this year. Also, Truth Learning Academy is still accepting enrollments. Be sure to invest in the first of many businesses that God has blessed us with. So make sure that you spread the word. And then finally, Camp Vision is still open for enrollment from ages 6 to 12. 6 to 12. We only take 5-year-olds under special circumstances, but 6 to 12. We have 15, Lord have mercy, students plus this particular time around, and it is just a great and marvelous time in the Lord. We'll make sure that we have some photos of what's been going on in camp going forward. To the media team, make sure that you keep photos and look at my wall for all of the photos that have been going on in camp. And if you do want to see some of those videos today, just go to truthlearningacademy.org on Facebook, and you'll be able to see some of the things that they were doing. It's been a great time. They were playing statue and some of these other different types of games. And I'm so thankful to God that no one has been hurt. Lord have mercy. This one little girl said, I ran into one of the walls. I was like, I don't see no marks. Well, if you ain't got no marks, it didn't happen. I'm teasing, y'all. Come on. My goodness, I'm teasing. So make sure that you want to go out to camp. It's great and marvelous time. It goes on all the way until August the 9th. And so that is our announcements. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand as we move forward in the admonition of the Lord. I know it's summertime. I know it's hot out there. But one thing about us grown folk, we've been out of school for a long time. So the summer really shouldn't matter to us, should it? You'll take off a weekend here or there. But don't go blowing your money unnecessarily and put yourself into debt. Because here's one thing. The credit bill man cometh. Every month he cometh. And so make sure that you are frugal. Make sure that you stay close to God. Make sure that you also enjoy your family. You don't have to blow the bank in order to have and spend time with them. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you for your offering, Lord God, that you are about to receive. We thank you, Lord God, for those that are not in attendance. If they're sick and shut in, Lord God, bless them right where they are. Lord God, we thank you for those that are on travel. And Lord God, even those that are checking out this ministry, bless them right now, Heavenly Father. Bless these gifts that you are about to receive from your people. Let them give cheerfully. Let them give lovingly. Let them give sacrificially. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and get a seed in your hand and sow according to your heart. Be blessed.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, singers. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to the sanctuary this morning on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. We're so thankful to God for giving us one more time to be in His presence. Without further ado, I want to get into a very important message that I want to share. It's kind of a building piece to, another infusion to what we were speaking of on Thursday night. There was a question that was posed from the crowd that dealt with grace. And in that, the grace that was expressed, I feel that a lot of people really don't quite get it. And it's one of the central pieces to our faith that is so important, that helps you keep on going even when you feel like you shouldn't keep going. And so let's get into the word for this morning. In 1 John chapter 9, verse 14, 1 John verses 9 through 14. Yes, 1 John chapter 1. Okay, I got it. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 says, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him," talking about Jesus, "and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And I like this part. "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. And the title of this morning's message is Grace and Truth. Subtitle, He's Full of It. He's Full of It. Father, let us go into the word this morning with understanding and with clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Grace and truth. He's full of it. And so as I said this morning, Thursday and all this week, this is what I kept on hearing. I kept on hearing grace and more grace and grace and favor. One of my favorite songs sung by Bishop William Murphy, grace and favor. My spiritual father talked about grace and truth. And I was seeing verses of scripture all throughout the week talking about grace. And then when that particular individual began to ask about the true essence of grace, especially as a believer that does wrong or is in wrong, what is it all about? Why is it so powerful? Why does it have such a profound effect on the people of God? Well, one of the things that I want to teach you this morning as we go forward in the Word is that there are three pieces to this truth. The first one is the law, you know, like the Ten Commandments, as well as other ordinances and several pieces that are in the Old Testament. Then you have truth, the bottom line of it, and then you have grace. So for this morning, the first thing that we're going to examine is the law. The law, also referred to as the schoolmaster, is set in stone. No pun intended. Remember Moses, the tablets, written in stone. Okay, you got it. Well, it was meant to train the flesh of men who default to sin on a regular basis, resulting in one, behavior modification, and two, if practiced, resulting in religious piety. In other words, you have a form of godliness. You look like you got it together. You look holy on the outside, but on the inside, there may be some things going on. The law is both convicting and condemning. Convicting because you are made aware of its truth when the law is broken, but you feel condemned because there is no way to undo what happened, and there is no second chance to redeem yourself. The law is meant for carnal people who are not led by the Spirit, and depending on how self-disciplined you are, divides actually the people of God between those who appear to follow it religiously on the outside and those who do not. In God's eyes, no one follows the law perfectly, and he sees man as guilty in all cases. You need to be clear with that. He sees man as guilty in all cases because according to his moral law, the Ten Commandments, we're all guilty, even if we break just one. Also, as a result of the law, we see that hypocrisy spikes, gets high. It's illuminated. It's brought to the surface as a result of the law and leaves man in the state of either arrogance because they think that they come to church or because they do a couple of scriptures that they're all that in a bag of chips. And because you give and you put your hand deep inside of the offering bucket, making it seem like you're giving a whole lot, but you only put $1 in there. Or hopelessness. You don't even think that it's even worth your time because you just cannot get it together with all the junk that's going on in your life. When people say that you remind them of your mother and your father, it's not talking about the best of them, it's talking about the worst of them. So why even try? It's hopeless. I'll never be able to do it. I've been going to church, going to Divine Truth Christian Center with God Wants Your Dreams and Visions Realized for almost close to a decade, and I still struggle with the law. In contrast, we have grace. Grace is defined as God's unmerited favor, I'm teaching you this morning, or simply another chance. Yet as sweet as it sounds, it continues to carry a bit of a mystery and confusion. But why? Why is that such a nuisance of a topic? Well, maybe it's because most people don't believe they are worthy of mercy, knowing what they have done in their secret past or even present. And they also constantly walk in condemnation. In other words, it's like they're waiting for a lightning strike or to be maimed by a sadistic God that of today and to be hugged by that same loving God tomorrow. You missed it. Sadistic relationship is when today you're cool and I'm hugging you, but tomorrow I got a bat up against your head, or I'm threatening you with violence. Some of us have that type of relationship with God because that's what we grew up experiencing inside of our household. You had a Jekyll and Hyde type of parent to where they're okay one day, but then when they get that elixir, or when they get a certain series of emotions, or when they think about their past, they turn into the worst of their parents, or they turn into the worst of their situation, or they have the poison of life and it begins to go through their veins like the Incredible Hulk, and the person that once hugged me now has turned into a completely different person. And sometimes we see God the same way. He's loving today on Sunday, but then Monday, after I do what I don't want to do, but I end up doing it, I believe that I don't need to go to church anymore until, you know, the coast is clear. I need to make sure that I don't go out tonight because I could very well die, because he could kill me at any moment. That's a very difficult relationship. Or maybe the first thing that comes to mind is that grace is about getting away with something. Time after time, I see people online say, well, why is it that you guys as Christians just think that you could just be forgiven about stuff so easily after all the wrong that you do? No, you can't be forgiven. You don't need a second chance. And maybe it's because they weren't given second chances when they were growing up. A mother, a father, or a relative, or a teacher were so harsh on them and crushed them with the law or with standards that they could not meet. So maybe that's what you think of, getting away with something when you deserve punishment to whoever's satisfaction. I always wonder when people say that you need to be punished for what you've done wrong or you owe me. And I always wonder, what level of satisfaction do you require? We saw this highlighted with Michael Vick and the whole dog thing that was going on several years ago about fighting dogs. And while it was wrong and on all of that, he went to jail for 2 years. Well, you have people who are raping people in the NFL and doing all these different types of things, and they never even see a day behind bars. Not only that, because we have people that worship animals at a deeper level today because they're so innocent based on instincts and all this other stuff, and they never reject them and all this other weird stuff. The same type of people get online and bring up that he's a dog killer and that he should be murdered for his crime. But he already served 2 years in jail. He served his time. That's what the people say. But they say in reply to that, he still deserves more punishment. And some of us believe that whoever has wronged us deserves more punishment, and maybe that will correct it. Or maybe, and last but not least, you believe that grace is a get out of hell free forgiveness card for bad behaving Christians. That say a deathbed confession for the most heinous of transgressions. But I will tell you the truth, that while you may see the movies and while you may hear about people saying that they came to Christ while they were on their hospital bed, you need to understand that out of all of the scripture, out of 6,000 years or 7,000 years of biblical history, human history, whatever you want to call it, whether you believe in the million-year timeline or you believe in the biblical timeline, there is only one instance in scripture where you see a person come to God right before they die. One. That lets us know that it doesn't happen very often. Okay. However, we need to understand that grace in its proper context is a beautiful thing and a liberating force of God's goodwill for those who are saved. But without the truth, grace is meaningless to the hearer because it gives the impression that God gives us the license to sin. So we talked about law, we talked about grace, but then the last one, the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth in and of itself is uncompromising in its content, unbiased in its message, and fully objective without regard to social, political, or cultural influences. It exposes, reveals, exonerates, vindicates, and at its core is the merit of pure justice. Sometimes the truth, when you hear it, leads to pain. You know the saying, the truth hurts. Other times, it's rejected by the individual who hears it because of pride, denial, or shame. Yet, if received in the right spirit, that same truth can lead to change. Only when you know and understand it will you be free. However, as strong as the truth is, even one person says the truth is like a lion that doesn't need defending. When it's not expressed with grace, it just ends up sounding mean to the hearer. You're telling me the truth, but man, you beat me up with it. Now, if you're still lost or wondering how grace and truth tie together, let's look to Jesus, who, quite frankly, is full of it. Not full of the flesh like you or I, but full of grace and truth. Not full of it like some of us. You fill in the blank. But a perfect balance between both realities in the human experience. So if I were to preface the second section, and this might be a series because I really want us to be able to understand how precious, really how precious that Jesus is in our lives, and how that once you have grace and truth together, it can truly, really transform your relationship with God. So let's look at one part, and I will call this section Grace Upon Grace. Grace Upon Grace. In John chapter 1, verse 9 through 17, I'm going to give you the breakdown of this particular scripture of how grace involved itself and interrupted and threw over our cosmic apple carts and brought man another chance. First, this particular chapter speaks in verse 9. It says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Everybody see that? Now, what it is talking about right here is Jesus Christ as the light of the world. You get it? Walk in the light. Beautiful light. Shine all around us by day. You got that? Jesus, the light of the world. Old Baptist hymn. Okay, so he was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Notice the key word right there, enlighten. Inward light, not illuminates man. You get that? There's a difference. See, when Jesus comes into your life, he lights you up from the inside out. Whereas religion lights you up from the outside, but keeps you dark on the inside. The implication here is that there was darkness first. Now, when you think of darkness, don't reduce it to a difference between day and night. Darkness and light is not the same thing as night and day. You get that? Darkness and light is not the same as night and day. It is dark at night. And it is light at day, but that is a natural way of looking at it. What I'm speaking of is a spiritual, moral way, a moral worldview. How is that? Because in both instances, there is light, one greater and one lesser. Talk about day and night. In contrast, think of being completely with it or without it. Talking about the light here. In another way of looking at it, think of power behind the brightness and how it illuminates everything. In other words, when man was created, he was created in the light by God and formed in the day. Remember that? In the evening and the morning was the first day. And then God, when he came into the picture and he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and made him a living soul, he didn't do it in darkness. Because God said in the very beginning creation, let there be light. Let me make it even more plain. You see, as I repeat, when man was created, he was created in the light by God and formed in the day, not just for natural visibility, but spiritual. So the truth we see here is that God graced us with his presence and fills the void of man internally first, which is dark due to sin. When a person is in darkness for a long time and away from the light of God, all types of creepy things come out. We have this rule in my household where we do not allow horror movies. Because I believe, personally as a believer, that horror movies really show the darkness of man. In other words, darkness means away from God. And when you are left and you stay away from God, then you begin to turn into your environment. You begin to devise secret things in your heart that are contrary to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they did it under the cover of darkness. That's why they covered themselves with an apron and they tried to hide themselves. As if God can't see behind closed doors. So it's not for just natural visibility, but it's to fill a void. Talking about the light here, internally first, which is dark due to sin. When a person is not saved, they are walking, as the scripture says, in darkness. And when they walk in darkness, remember, we are better in the light. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go to verse 10. In verse 10, it says, he was in the world. Talking about Jesus here. And the world was made through him. Being here all the time. And the world did not know him. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Martin? I'd like to hear you go. Well, when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, it was a blessing. In the beginning, God revealed light. He spoke light. In the midst of darkness, and it shined through the darkness, or rather, God became involved. But due to sin, mankind was the one who turned the light off and became blind to the truth of who he is. Imagine you being inside of your household, and you got the kids that are up that are in their room, and they're playing, and they got all the lights on, right? Right. when they have all the lights on, it seems like they have extra activity. But then you, as a parent, when you go into that particular room and you say, night, night, good night, oh, lay your butt down if you're in a different part of the neighborhood. you would go to the switch and then you would turn that thing off. All right? Brother Jamar, turn that light off right behind you. Just turn it off. Boop. All right. So you turn the light off and then it's done. It's completed and then everybody goes into a different pattern. You get that? In the light, it's one particular pattern, but in darkness, it's in a totally different pattern. Well, what do you mean by this, Pastor Martin? Well, let me explain further. Go ahead and turn the light back on. See, this shows us that God's grace was expressed through creation. The most beautiful things on the planet are highlighted through the sun with dynamic colors. You cannot see a rainbow unless you have the sun. You cannot see the greens and the blues and the purples or the turquoises or different flower colors or the azaleas or the crepe myrtles. You can't see all of the beautiful colors of a rose or any of that without the sun. You can't see it. If you turn off complete darkness, even the most beautiful rose garden will look muted and dry. Not only that, people are most active during the daytime. I know that you go to New York in the city that never sleeps. However, under normal circumstances, most people are asleep at that time. During the day, they are most active. Why? Because that's what we were made in from the very beginning. In contrast, when it's dark, those things are not seen as well. Everything is muted, and for mankind, it brings out the worst in us as we do most of our evil when night falls. Oh, Lord. You ever thought about the werewolf? The werewolf. Well, the werewolf doesn't come out during the day. He's calm. He's rational. I think about that Harry Potter movie, and they had this one particular individual that was a werewolf type of professor, and he was so pleasant. He was didactic. He was studious. He was able to articulate his message and teach students here and there. But then, oh then, when that moon came out, or when that dark light was revealed, then he began to turn into a different being altogether. And the crazy thing about the werewolf is that when a werewolf is in night and it turns into a totally different being, all of its horrors, all of its crimes, all of the things that they do inside of the darkness, when that light comes back on again, it's like they never remember what happened. Such as the person who has a personality split between night and day. Oh, you don't remember what you did? No. I just don't get it. Show me the tape. God will at the end of the age. I also would love to see that statistic too about the number of crimes that are committed at night versus those in the day. We all know that more stuff happens at night. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at, that's so old, y'all. Be like, man, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But it's still truth, or it's the truth anyhow. Verse 11 says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. The truth in this verse points to Jesus' interest to his people of Israel as prophesied. But when they rejected him due to the darkness in their hearts, they couldn't receive his manifold grace. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This indicates one brief truth before we go on to the rest of the sentence. This indicates to us that those who do not receive him are not children of God. Isn't that plain? Those that do not receive his grace are not children of God. We know that everybody is not saved. That's why when you put the light of God into the public realm, when you put the light of God into the public square, you're going to get mushrooming opposition. In London right now, you have gentlemen or people that are speaking on Speaker's Corner, which is a designated area in London where you could share your faith. But when you go to other portions of London or other portions of the UK and you begin to talk about things that are inflammatory, like the truth of the gospel, then you could be subject to going to jail. Certain types of topics you have to circumvent and you have to go around, all because people love darkness rather than light. Verse 12, repeating, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That means that we do not have a right to be a child of God by default or just because you are born. Amen. Here's another piece. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that means that you receive his grace when you are born again and you believe on his name, and you don't have to be related by blood in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling or you think that genealogy is all that you need in order to have a relationship with God, verse 12 and 13 blows that out of the water. Because it says specifically, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How can you be born of God? It is the Spirit that regenerates man's heart so that he could be born again. That's where we transition and pivot, if you will, in today's message. In the first three verses that you heard this morning, God is revealing the truth about his nature and the difference between darkness and light and how they are different between night and day. So because God loved us, he decided to turn the light on and grace us with his presence through Jesus Christ. Not only that, to give man a choice to receive that grace or not. It is God that does the work. It is God that does the transformation. Choose this day whom you will serve. Many are called, but few are chosen. You will do, you will be my servant. You will go forward in the things of God. As he says to Moses, but Jesus also said to the people who were thinking or considering following him, well, I have to go and bury this, or I have to do that, or I have to attend in the marketplace. And Jesus said, go bury the dead, for you cannot move forward in the kingdom of God with your hand to the plow and looking backward. You follow or not. You come with me or not. You do what you have to do or not. Now that has traces of the law, doesn't it? Because it seems like it's an ultimatum. Like you got to do it or else. You come to church or else. You believe God or else. You stay faithful or else. You do what you need to do or else. Or else this or else that. Or else there will be consequences, consequences. That's how we feel. But what is the reality of grace? Well, in verse 14, it shows this even deeper. In verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. To be clear, the Bible is not equal to God. Now, before you throw a spoon at me, let me explain. The text is not God. The translation is not God. However, the word found in the Bible, the message is equal to God. You got that? The Bible is just pages. The Bible is ink. The Bible is leather bound. The Bible is or has different transliterations. You may have a different interpretation, but the Bible has different transliterations. In other words, it's Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, and King James, if you use that particular version, ordered the people of that time to translate the pre-existing text into Elizabethan language so that those of that time period could understand it. That is all that it is. It has not been meddled with or tampered with. If you think that, then you above all men are most miserable. It's only about 0.5% of the scriptures that were transliterated in error. And most of those things are inconsequential, such as a to or an and or a comma misplaced here or there. That's it. So the Bible is not God. However, the message contained within the text is God. The message of the gospel, who is summed up in a few words. The gospel is who Jesus is and what he came to do. Who is Jesus? He is God. How do you find out about God? Well, he revealed himself through creation. After he revealed himself through creation, then sin came into the world because of Adam and Eve's transgression. After sin came into the world, God told Adam and Eve as they were leaving from the garden that you can't come back the same way that you left. You left of your own will. You can't come back by your own will. You got that? You left religiously because you came up with your own system and your own belief system and how you interpreted what I said. Guess what? You're not going to come back to me with your own interpretation. Because that's how religion is born. Thus, we have all these religions and denominations because these are man's attempts to get back to God when God specifically said that you can't come back to me the same way that you left. So the Bible is not God, but the message that God wanted to have a relationship with his people. And when they messed up, that he sent a redeemer in order to bring them back into right relationship with him. That's the message. Isn't that plain? It's just that simple. Man, close to God, man screwed it up. God was like, I'm going to hook you up. Let me send my son so that we can get back together. That's the Bible message. That's who Jesus is. He is God. And beside him, there is none other. But there's another part of that pivot, and that is what he came to do. What did Jesus come to do? Well, remember that sin entered into the world. That made all of us lost through the transgression of Adam and Eve. That means that that sin thing that you can't get rid of, that can't help it, that I'm sorry, I won't do it again, that you said for the 1511th time, that is in all of us. And because of the law makes us feel guilty because we know that we don't get any better when we hear it. How many of y'all have went over the speed limit, even by, it says 35, but you went 36. You have the right to be pulled over. Quite honestly, let's be frank about it. Yes, 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 you, yes, you. You know that the speed limit said 35 miles per hour, but you went 36, and then the light came on and said, whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. And then you feel condemned when they pull you over. I just can't believe. Do you know why I pulled you over? No, H, no, I don't know why you pulled me over. Well, sir, you were going 36 miles per hour in the 35 mile per hour zone. Well, I mean, why is that such a big deal? Well, ma'am, sir, you broke the law. You broke the law. Well, it's just by 1 hour or 1 mile per hour over. I mean, I was just trying to feed my kids. Liar. I was just trying to get to the grocery store. Liar. I was just trying to get to the house because I left the oven on. You don't even cook. You boil hot dogs. Liar. I only went 1 mile over. Why don't you give me another chance? Well, sir or ma'am, I understand that you want a second chance, but according to the law, you broke it. Therefore, you have to deal with the consequences. Here goes your $95 ticket. Have a nice day. And you like this with the windows up. And he has a stone or she has a stone face and just drives away. Because they have the power of the law behind them. Now, you could get all swole up and you could get all this, but let me go ahead and call my lawyer. But guess what? You still wrong. Now, what is it that many of us who have gone through that experience really enjoy or really sometimes feel good about when we go through experience like that, when you come across the same type of situation, but in this particular case, you're going 15 miles over. And the cop pulls you over, and you know that you're guilty. You know that this is the third time this month that you've had an infraction because you can't get yourself up out of the bed, out of the bed. Cop pulls you over. Sir, ma'am, do you know why I stopped? Yes, sir, I was just having a rough day. But, you know, go ahead and write it out. Well, ma'am or sir, I'm going to do this just this one time for you. Make sure that you slow down, because you're coming up against a school zone, and I normally write tickets, but for you, because I know where you're coming from, and I don't want you to get this $400 ticket that you could get, I'm going to give you another chance. Another chance. Now, which one was more appreciative? The one that felt like they were guilty based on 1 mile per hour over, even though they deserve it, or the one that was forgiven for being 15 or 10 miles an hour over? The one that feels that they were let go or given a second chance for being 15 or 10 miles an hour over. Why is that? It's because when you know that you're guilty and you get a second chance, that grace feeling totally changes you. Now, if you are in the right spirit, when that person lets you go, you drive out of there, and it'd be maybe 30 miles, 5 miles an hour. For the next 3 miles, you're going to go 30. And you're saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that they let me go, because I had weed up under my seat. I had a couple of beer cans, and one or two of them are open, and I would have gotten a DUI. They could have given me a breathalyzer test, but I put a Tic Tac in my mouth right before they came to the window. Grace. The feeling that you know that you don't deserve it, but you get a second chance. And it makes you feel such more or more appreciative about the situation that you're in. And that's what God did through his son, Jesus Christ, as it relates to the text. He wanted to give us this message of not only who he is, which is God, but what he came to do, which is to give you grace upon grace with your crazy self. To give you chance after chance. Man will give you three strikes, you're out. And that three strikes, you're out type of mindset created havoc within the urban community for about 30 plus years. But with God, it's not three strikes, you're out. He will rather give you another chance until you get it right. So no, the Bible is not equal to God, but the word found in the Bible is equal to God, or the message of the gospel, which is found from Genesis through Revelation. You see what I did there? So I'm separating the book itself from the message itself. They are not one and the same, because you have some Bibles that have omitted some things because they are not politically correct in their delivery. So even as we come around the mountain this morning, and as we conclude part one, because I believe that some of y'all really still don't get what grace is, let me break it down to you this way, and then we're going to pull these things together in part two next Sunday. In John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, this gives us another deeper level of this thing that Jesus is full of. Verse 16 says, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace, Lord have mercy, upon grace." That sounds like a stacked deck of goodness towards you. You know how like you split a deck of cards in half, or you have individual cards, 52 cards, for those of you that don't play spades, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you think of grace upon grace, imagine you taking that group of cards that's kind of spread all over the table, and then you begin to stack them one after another after another. Now think of all the stuff that you've done wrong in life. So you have one card of the crap that you've done, but then you have another card to cover that. You do it again, and then you have another card on top of that. And it seems like it just goes on forever. It seems like you're always being covered over and over again. Well, that's what grace upon grace really means. And when God does that for you, because he knows that you're human and that you're made of dust, it's supposed to have a resulting effect. And we're going to talk about that next week. when you get another chance to get it right and to get everything back in order, that is for your good. Amen. That is a benefit to you. If God gives you another chance with your children after you weren't the best parent, guess what? That is for your good. That is for your legacy. If God gives you another chance to be a better husband or a better wife, that is for your good, because it affects so many people. If God gives you another chance to be a better ministry leader or a better member inside of the house of the Lord, or to love someone more and better after a crisis or after something happened that and it affected your health so deeply, then that is a benefit for you, because God doesn't need grace. He is grace. God has graced me. If you only knew the number of mistakes that I made as a pastor, the times that I have failed, the times where I felt like I wasn't enough or not adequate enough, did not have enough degrees, did not have enough money, did not have enough clout in Orlando, I would have a smile on my face, I would have my hands in the air. But sometimes I would feel so unworthy of even being a pastor. But then, oh then, something kicks in as I arrive to the pulpit. And once I get into that word, once I begin to experience his grace, a message that is outside of myself, yes, it begins to do something for me, begins to do something in me, and I become more appreciative of who God is in my life. And I hope you have the same experience. Repeating verse 16, for his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And I love verse 17, and this is what we're going to expound next week. For the law was given through Moses. Semicolon, right? But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You see that? You see that? You see the divide right there? So when you see people that get into law and you need to follow this and you need to follow that, and therefore if you follow this and follow that to a T, you don't wear any mixed fabrics, you don't eat any shellfish, you don't do all of those different little things that people like to pull up, then you are truly a Christian, when people don't even know what a Christian is. Christians, people who are not Christian believe that you got to practice something and that you should follow something, where some type of ritual or some type of methodology. But God never told us to follow the law since being saved. He said for us to follow Christ. You see the difference? When you follow religion, you're going to go through conviction, condemnation, arrogance, piety, and division. Because there are people in this crowd, that some of us are better disciplined than others. Some of you all can get a college degree online. Others of you all can't do that because you won't do no homework. Some of you all, when you get your homework from the teacher, you'd be like, great, this is just wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and do this right when I get home. Others of you need mama and daddy and them to be right on your shoulder telling you, you need to get your work done right now. And you don't get any breathing room, because when you get breathing room, you're going to end up with F's all on your report card. And those same children grow up to be adults. Some of you all need to be micromanaged because you be taking breaks all day. You're going to try to maximize your check with minimum effort. And then there's others of you who'll be there right at the crack of dawn. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. You're the one who like to tell on people for being late. We got both of them in this crowd right here. I feel the spirit like somewhere in the middle right there. That's the law. The law does not make you better. It just lets you know that you are wrong. The lot of difficulty that people sometimes have with law enforcement is that they're expecting mercy when their job is only to enforce the law. You could be dead right about your situation, but because of the way that you handle it, the cops are called in to enforce the law, and they don't give a flip about you, the color of your skin, where you're going, how much money that you have. You're going to be just like this. And you can be like, sir, I just did it. And they'd be like, and they'll march you right on in there. Because that's what they're supposed to do. They're enforcers of the law. But let me give you a little insight. One of the reasons why, at least in the city of Castleberry, just like other cities, but in Castleberry, the reason why our government officials saw the value of a chaplain is to balance the law with grace. You get that? For example, this particular police officer was called to a specific house in a specific place in Castleberry. And there was a woman that was there that got into a domestic dispute with her kids. Now, the law says that you should not do assault or battery or anything like that against an individual. And as a result, one of the people were taken away. Okay. Now, the one that was taken away was the one who did it, whereas the parent that was there was grieving and was crying in anguish because the person was being taken away. The person was actually trying to talk to the cop and say, don't take them away, but because the call was made according to the law, they have to. Because they could lose their job, they could get sued for not enforcing the law. So the cop does his job, but then they call a person like me to come in to deal with the grace part. He says, I can't really get into the personal aspect of what's going on in their life, but you can. You come in and you talk to them and see where their head is at. And so what I do is that I don't bring up the law any longer. I bring up grace. And I let them know this is how you should conduct yourself the next time. This is how you should handle a situation. Maybe you don't need to be an enabler of bad behavior. Get into the house of the Lord. We'll take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll clothe you. We'll take care of you and your family. We'll show you how to deal with this person when they come back to you again, and they will come back again. You see that? So you have to have law and grace together. That is the truth of the matter. When Jesus comes in, he's not really interested in the law of all the stuff that you follow or don't follow. He wants you to be in his grace. So the law, it makes some of us feel comfortable, especially if we're self-disciplined. If we come to church on time, we leave on time, we follow the ordinances, statutes, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, we dress this way, we do this, we do that, then we feel better about ourselves because it's our effort. And people who are not saved feel very comfortable in religion because they have something to do with their relationship with God. And it's them extending grace to themselves. But when you're saved, grace is not the same way. When you're saved, you know that the law doesn't make you any better. You know that the law doesn't have the same type of effect. Matter of fact, the law actually makes you feel worse and not want to even come to church because, as many of my people in my family would say, I don't want to do God like that. I don't want to disappoint God, or my favorite, I don't want to play with God. So the people, and I respect them for that because they don't want to play with God. They don't want to be one way in church and then another way at the house. So they'd rather just stay at the house. Just keeping it real. So the law was given through Moses, but it wasn't enough. It was only a forerunner. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So again, next week as I close, we need to understand that through Moses, he represented a foundation. We're going to examine the difference between ceremonial law, civil law, and moral law. Ceremonial law is for the priests. Civil law is for the nation of Israel. But moral law is for all of mankind. You need to know that. And we're also going to talk about what it's like to have grace and truth through Jesus. So Moses is the foundation, but Jesus is the mansion. You get that? All right. The law is hard. It's unbending. But the mansion, there's a lot of flexibility, a lot of places you can go in it. You get that? In my house, Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And wherever I am, you will be there also. So through Jesus, there are phases of grace. We're going to talk about benevolent grace through all of mankind. Beneficent grace, grace on a different level to those that are saved. Or benevolent grace and how God even decides to even want to save somebody. And then complacent grace, which is a type of grace that experienced between God and his children. I'm going to repeat that again. Benevolent grace. You ever heard the term of the saying, God reigns on the just as well as the unjust? And how somebody could be wicked and do all of this dirt, but they still look like they're blessed? That's because of God's benevolent grace, because such were some of you. When you were off the chain, God knew it, but he gave you time to get back into the chain of love. Then you have beneficent grace. When God saw you in your mess, he said, enough with that. Let me go ahead and interrupt their life. And I'm going to introduce them to Jesus through the gospel. And then you have a choice to believe in Jesus Christ and follow him or not. That in and of itself is grace, because God does not have to save you. And then finally, complacent grace. Grace as experience between God and his children. This is where the power of grace transforms the heart of man through love and kindness. Amen. Amen. I couldn't do all of this in one time or at one moment of time, but I just wanted to try to squeeze a quart in a pint and then move on. So we're going to go through these particular three, because I think it's very important for those of you to understand where you are in your walk with Christ and how you should really relax in the grace of God. Not as a license to sin, but as God giving you extra time to get right with him. You see that? You saw I rhymed there. You see what I did there? Grace is not a license to sin. It's extra time to get right with him. Write that down. Grace is not a license to sin. It is extra time to get right with him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you and we honor you and we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, that you've extended grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, that you have gotten up from off of the seat of judgment and sat down on the seat of mercy, that you have given us chance after chance and you are glad to do it, that you love us despite us, try to help us when we don't want help, try to right us when we are bent on doing wrong, when you hear us when we're not listening. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for your love as expressed through Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again on the third day. We love you, Lord God. Let us fully embrace your grace in this new season of blessings. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I love you. Can I miss it? Okay. Okay, all right. So I know that we have a lot of people that are out today in regards to giving. If you have not given, make sure that you do so before you leave. We're about $400 or short or so, but this is more so for my people that are watching online.